What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grooms. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grooms.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.
Spring is finally here, and it's that time of year when plans start becoming real. Trips are getting booked, the calendar is filling up, and the energy is shifting. Make this season count. By starting right now, you'll hit summer already feeling more confident speaking and understanding a brand new language. Whether you're prepping for a dream vacation, reconnecting with your family heritage, or just finally checking learn a new language off your bucket list, Rosetta Stone is the way to go. They've been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years because they skip the boring stuff. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists or leaning on chunky translations. Instead, their intuitive method helps you naturally absorb the language by connecting words and visuals to real-world meaning. It's about learning in context, the way language was actually meant to be learned. As a trusted expert with millions of users, Rosetta Stone offers 25 different languages, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. It really is the ultimate tool for genuine growth. Ready to start learning a new language this spring? Visit rosettastone.com/RS10 today to explore Rosetta Stone and choose the language that's right for you. Go to rosettastone.com/RS10 now and begin your language learning journey.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Welcome back. Chunky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. Still a lot to do on the program. At 9 o'clock, our pal Dan Helly is going to join us.
That's right.
He is the voice of the Commanders during the preseason. So he'll be calling the game tonight if you're watching on TV. So we will talk to Dan Helly. That is at 9 o'clock. But we're going to head out to the Rude Guest Hotline, Rude's most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, and check in with the great Paul Feinbaum, of course, host of the Paul Feinbaum Show, New York Times bestselling author, ESPN college football commentator. You can watch him daily on the SEC Network. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, guys. I really appreciate you inviting me.
Yes, no, sir.
Thank
yes,
you
sir.
For joining us. You know, we thought earlier in the week that when we hit Friday, we'd be talking about the Commanders' first preseason game and whether we'd see Jaden on the field. But it's all this off-the-field shenanigans that has become front and center here. What's your read on Jaden versus LSU?
You know, I want to say one thing, because I'm not an equivocator, but I got to know Jayden when he was at LSU, really liked him, talked to him a lot, and I would interview Brian Kelly. And even when he went to the Commanders, there was a great sense of pride in what he did the first year. I said all that to say this. He's lost all of that from everywhere and everyone in LSU Nation after what happened this week. And I know it's been said here before, but I rarely have ever seen a dumber, more senseless move. I don't know who pulled the strings, but all the cleanup on aisle three from Jayden Daniels from this moment on will not be enough. He has made a terrible mistake. He can be successful in Washington. I hope he is, but I would advise him to never waste another second in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, because they are done with him.
What's the reception if he were to ever come to a LSU game and be on the sidelines? What's the reception going to be like for him?
I think it would be chillier than inauguration day at the nation's capital. I really don't think. I think it's one thing if there was a misunderstanding, but when, you know, then the report came out yesterday about the cease and desist and you know, giving the trophy back. I mean, that's just pure stupidity. I mean, there are plenty of copies of the Heisman Trophy. I don't think anybody knows which one is the original, because it's, every school has one in their trophy case. Every player has one at home. They're not that, you know, they're not that, that's not such a big deal. His statement, I think it was a statement yesterday that it seemed like he was trying to ameliorate the situation, and then he went all in. And I don't know really all the backstory on it, but, you know, and it's been said before, but I'll say it again. He was a really great player. Individually, he did not have a tremendous team around him. He did maybe more than any player I've ever seen. Having said all that, he's still not Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow had a transformational season on one of the best teams maybe in the history of the game. And then when you show up 2 or 3 years later and win the Heisman on a good team that beat Nick Saban, but not an elite team, you're really going into a jungle that you're not going to come out of. I mean, LSU is it's not Alabama, it's not Ohio State, but they've had many great players and many national championships. And while individually Jayden Daniels may be one of the 2 or 3 best players in the history, he's not going to be remembered that way because he never got a title.
What, if Joe Burrow was doing this exact same thing, would you feel the same way?
No, I mean, Joe Burrow would be different. I would be incredibly disappointed in Joe Burrow, but he would at least have a leg to stand on. And it is a fact. They haven't replicated Joe Burrow's number since he left. That doesn't mean they won't. I mean, they're retiring a jersey in a couple of weeks for Burt Jones, who played in the 70s. Okay,
right.
So, I mean, LSU is not always on top of things when it comes to being on the moment. But this just doesn't make any sense.
So, what would Paul Feinbaum do if he was Jayden Daniels and you were promised that the number 5 wasn't going to be used? Maybe it was by Brian Kelly, who is Lane Kiffin's predecessor. And then you find out that the number 5 is given to a player who wore number 3 last year. What would Paul Feinbaum do in Jayden Daniels' shoes?
Well, I would have my agent, my people, you know, go back channel, which I'm sure they did. And, you know, Kiffin said that he talked to Jayden. I mean, again, you're going to believe anything Lane Kiffin says. I would have just handled it, outside the public domain. And even if you got the wrong result, even if they told you, hey, sorry, just let it go. What's the point? I mean, you have to think these things through on a couple of different layers. And I know he's consumed with this season and maybe trying to return to his rookie play, but you just, I mean, this should not be his main concentration right now.
I don't think it is.
It's bad timing, but just to play devil's advocate, Paul, Joe Burrow was told no one's going to wear number 9. All right. He won a Heisman. Jayden Daniels was told no one's going to wear 5. And in the first year of Kiffin, his regime, some kids wearing number 5. He feels like he's not being treated the same way, and he was lied to.
Okay. Well, guess what? We all get lied to.
Joe Burrow didn't.
Well, listen, you guys have a job. You work for a big company. I do too. Yeah. I know what you're saying, yeah. And it's fair. But like at the end of it all, like, okay, so all you have to do at that point to me is say, screw them. I'm not going to, you know, just handle it off the air, handle it in private, and, you know, don't ever go back. I mean, Jaden Daniels has something to offer. Uh-huh. Or he did. He can still be valuable, and that's all he has to communicate. And this Pickett guy, who, you know, whether he's a good player or not, he'll come and go and deal with it another day. But that's all I'm trying to say.
Yeah. And I agree.
Can it be resolved though? The one difference I'll say with you, Paul, is that I do think that eventually they can come to some sort of resolution, whatever it might be, some sort of compromise of some sort. I don't know, and that they can overcome it. I think at some point, I mean, maybe the LSU faithful will never let him forget it.
Everything kind of dies.
But yeah, I mean, I never thought Michael Vick would be embraced again.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, he's doing TV.
We're not going to care in a week, I don't think.
Well, I mean, listen, you guys are in Washington. I mean, we've seen this movie a few times. The president's coming back and disgraced individual. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Maybe my statement was a little hyperbolic, but what I was trying to do was represent what I heard from LSU fans yesterday, I heard from plenty of them.
Oh, I'm sure you did.
The good news is also, I'd say this, and I'm biased because I think he's like you said at the beginning, like all your interactions were great or whatever. All indications from afar. And by the way, I thought O.J. Simpson was a great guy, too. So who knows? But
you changed your mind on that? I'm surprised.
Yeah. But Jaden seems like a pretty spectacular guy, kind of checking all the boxes. This one may be a misstep, at least in terms of the public perception. I don't think it outweighs all the goodness and the way he's handled himself. And I don't think he cares. I think he cares about this issue, certainly. But I don't think it consumes him. I think he's kind of forced to do media at gunpoint. He'll answer the few questions, and then as soon as he walks away from that podium, I don't think he's going to give it 1/100th of a second of thought.
But you know, so what you guys just laid out here is a far more compelling argument for why he was screwed than anything I've heard from Jaden Daniels or his people. Mm-hmm. And that's the mistake. I mean, listen, there are a million PR firms that, you know, for a few bucks you could have gotten this message across and let somebody else do it. Could have saved him, but that's the problem. And you're right, of course. I mean, we forgive anybody, and yeah, we that's part of the culture of the world. But it's just hard to get over. I know I mentioned Joe Burrow a few times, but that's part of his problem too in perception. So he was so closely aligned with Burrow. He kind of came out of nowhere. Everybody knows his backstory. Mm-hmm. He wins the Heisman in a very weird year, but his numbers were so dynamic that you couldn't help but vote for him. I think Michael Penix was second. But fans in this particular, I mean, I think this goes for everybody, but you're judged by titles and banners. And when you don't have one and, you know, and you have just the, I don't know, say just the Heisman Trophy, and you followed it up pretty well with the Commanders, it just doesn't resonate as well with a fan base.
Yeah.
Talking to the great Paul Feinbaum, you know him from the Paul Feinbaum Show, seen daily, SEC Network, you know him from ESPN, New York Times bestseller. So give us a little example of what the callers were like. All in unison ripping Jaden Daniels yesterday?
Any supporters?
There were no supporters.
Oh, really?
Now, again, we're a pretty caller-heavy show.
Yeah.
I'd hate to use that as the New York Times, Washington Post poll being accurate. I think some of it was a lot of people were saying, "What?" I hadn't heard that yet because it happened late at night on Wednesday. So, and it probably didn't help when the host of the show was biased from the very beginning, spinning the story the way I have already. So I say all that. There were no positives. Now, again, that doesn't mean I wasn't doing a show in Baton Rouge. I did talk to a reporter in Baton Rouge, and he pretty well said that the feeling down there was the same as I have conveyed to you.
Will you acknowledge this, Paul? I know this as a parent of kids that played sports, and all of us had kids that played sports or whatever at different various levels. There is something that where people get in their feelings about numbers, and when you see your number passed on to the next person, I'm not going to say that you're all going to send cease and desist letters, but it does affect you as a parent, as a player yourself. You see the next kid take your number like right away, like you're forgotten immediately. Like, there is something about it. I don't know how to explain it. I don't know how to articulate it.
You know, I get it. I mean, listen, if I died in the middle of this interview, there would be somebody else sitting in my seat at 3 o'clock this afternoon.
Exactly.
They might do a 2-minute tribute to me. But as soon as the first big story came along at 4 o'clock, they forget me. I mean, I get that. We all understand that because we're in the middle of sports, and there's probably nothing where you are forgotten faster than in the sports world.
Right. All right, Paul, let's switch gears quickly here before we let you go. You know, the biggest story certainly in the coaching ranks was Kiffin leaving Ole Miss, going to LSU. Huge story. He's there. He brought in a bunch of transfers, especially on the offensive end. He's got a new quarterback. He's got all new receivers, brought in a new running back. They're going to open up with Clemson Labor Day weekend at home. Now, Dabo doesn't have a bunch of transfers. He's got a bunch of guys that he recruited and tries to develop. But there's a lot more pressure, I think, on Kiffin this year. Your thoughts on this game, and what do you expect from LSU, especially offensively?
Yeah, I mean, Sam Levitt's a quarterback. He was at Arizona State. He took them to the playoffs 2 years ago. But he was banged up last year with a foot injury. If somebody steps on him on the first play, LSU season's going straight downhill because he can't afford to get the foot re-injured. But they have so much talent on that team. I think their schedule could be their undoing. It won't be Clemson, though. Clemson is a shell of itself. There's not a coach I'm more disappointed in than Dabo Swinney, who in 2019 literally was on the same level as Nick Saban. He had beaten Saban twice. He'd won two national. He'd played for the national championship four times, playoffs about six or seven. But he was the last guy. The get off your lawn, my lawn guy said, we're not changing. We're not going to the portal. We're not going to NIL. And he got screwed.
Yep.
And it's almost too late. That program is now about the fourth or fifth best in the ACC, which is not exactly the best league. So I think LSU will roll them. LSU's problem come later. That 2 weeks later, they're at Ole Miss. That will be one of the tensest games in the history of college football.
Yeah, because that's going to be must watch. Must watch.
I mean, I don't even know what it's comparable to in the NFL or any other sport, but I've never seen a fan base hate somebody more. I mean, this is 16 years old and jilted by the girl that you were going to marry and have seven kids with. And I mean, I'm telling you what, I mean, every time I'm in an elevator with an Ole Miss fan, they say, what do you think of Kiffin? And I said, I hate him. I said, well, they may want to hug me. If I said I like him, they might pull a gun.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's going to be really interesting. And just your thought, you know, overall in the SEC, you got a bunch of new coaches. You know, Ole Miss has Golding now, but he was there, but they have Golding. Obviously Lane's gone, but there's four other schools that fired their coaches and brought some new guys in. Georgia's ranked 3 in the preseason. I think LSU's middle of the pack. I don't know where they are, maybe 13, 14, but just your thoughts on the conference in general with all these new coaches.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, there are half these guys I've never heard of before. I mean, they were coming from middle of nowhere. But keep your eye on John Sumrall. He's the Florida coach.
Yep.
He was at Tulane last year, which made the playoffs. And for Tulane to be good is to really staying a great deal. The team I'm most intrigued by is Texas. The talent level on that team is astronomical. You know, starts with Arch Manning. I think he's one of the two or three best quarterbacks. They have the best wide receiver, a guy named Cam Coleman. They've got another wide receiver that is not far behind. They have running backs. I mean, they are just, you know, it's a lot of it's money, but Texas is also a very powerful attraction. I don't like the SEC to win the championship again. If I had to pick a team, I'd go with Oregon with Dante Moore. I mean, this guy could have been the second pick in the draft last year, but the word was he didn't want to play for the Jets or some other terrible NFL franchise. So, I mean, Dan Lanning is another coach who hasn't won a championship yet, but he will.
Paul, great stuff. Appreciate the insight. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, I'll get you on again soon. Thank you, Paul.
Yeah, thanks for calling in.
Would love it, guys. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you, bud.
It's great. Paul Feinbaum, New York Times bestselling author, ESPN college football commentator. You can watch him daily on the SEC Network. Still to come, our pal Dan Helley, who's going to be calling the game, the Commanders-Dolphins game tonight on the TV side. He'll jump on at 9 o'clock here on The Fan.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped mussel oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances, trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out. That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. I just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at Grunes.co.
Spring is finally here, and it's that time of year when plans start becoming real. Trips are getting booked, the calendar is filling up, and the energy is shifting. Make this season count. By starting right now, you'll hit summer already feeling more confident speaking and understanding a brand new language. Whether you're prepping for a dream vacation, reconnecting with your family heritage, or just finally checking learn a new language off your bucket list, Rosetta Stone is the way to go. They've been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years because they skip the boring stuff. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists or leaning on chunky translations. Instead, their intuitive method helps you naturally absorb the language by connecting words and visuals to real-world meaning. It's about learning in context, the way language was actually meant to be learned. As a trusted expert with millions of users, Rosetta Stone offers 25 different languages, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. It really is the ultimate tool for genuine growth. Ready to start learning a new language this spring? Visit rosettastone.com/RS10 today to explore Rosetta Stone and choose the language that's right for you. Go to rosettastone.com/RS10 now and begin your language learning journey.
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
The show is brought to you today and every day by the law firm Condori and Murad.
They can help you with so many things: estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com and be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
Let's go to the Rood guest hotline. Rood, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We've been talking since the start of the show about Jaden Daniels and his dispute with LSU. The story broke late last night on ESPN. The reporter, the writer, was Mark Schlabaugh. And he joins us right now on Grant and Danny. Mark, thank you for a few minutes. How are you?
Good, guys. How are you?
Good.
Very well.
So I guess before we ask a lot of our probing questions, just give the one-minute elevator pitch on how long this has been going on and what is going on.
Yeah, we got a tip yesterday that there was some sort of a disagreement between Daniels' camp and LSU. I guess last week, reporters in Baton Rouge at LSU's practice noticed G.J. Pickett wearing number 5. He wore number 3 last year. I saw Lane Kiffin's comments. And then we got a tip yesterday afternoon that his mother or his attorney may have sent a cease and desist letter to LSU telling him to take all of his photos and jerseys and everything out of the building. So was able to make some calls and get my hands on the cease and desist letter late last night.
So his mom is also his agent. You said it may have been her or the lawyer. You don't know.
And it was a lawyer. It was a lawyer in South Florida that ended up sending the cease and desist. And it was sent to Virgil Osbury, the LSU athletic director, I believe on August 5th.
So I guess what I'm curious about is how involved do we think he actually is in all of this in your reporting, and who is in his camp when we hear the Daniels camp? Who is that?
Well, I mean, like, as you mentioned, his mother, Regina, is his manager or agent. There's the attorney in South Florida. There was another attorney I spoke to in Los Angeles who kind of serves as his PR rep, I believe. I don't know how much Jaden Daniels was involved in this decision because I haven't talked to him. I would be surprised if a cease and desist letter was sent on his behalf without his knowledge. You know, according to the statement the family sent to me last night, the rep sent to me last night, you know, he made it clear to LSU that he didn't want anybody else wearing the jersey.
And that's at the core of this, right? I mean, that's what began this, whatever you want to call it, dispute, disagreement, et cetera. You don't have any legal recourse there about the jersey, so you're sort of pulling every other lever you can. So there's a statement here in your piece, Mark. The Daniels family is deeply disappointed and feels profoundly disrespected by LSU's decision to give Jaden Daniels number to another player. That, to me, is at the core of all of this. And I just sort of wonder about that process, that part of things, and where that stands.
Yeah, I mean, I talked to Brian Kelly, the former LSU coach who was fired midseason last year. He told me that he believes that DJ Pickett, who was one of the top players in the country, the number two cornerback in the country, that at some point in his recruitment by LSU, he was promised he could wear number five when he got to campus. And I asked Brian why he wasn't allowed to wear it last season when he wore number three. And he said at the time, Jaden wasn't comfortable with another player wearing his number and that they had respected Joe Burrow's wish that nobody wear number nine, which nobody has worn it since Burrow left LSU in 2019. So he didn't issue it to him. And he said, you know, the situation changed. I'm no longer the coach there. Lane Kiffin is in charge. And Lane said, a promise was made and we're going to fulfill the promise.
So if the jersey's not retired, but it wasn't in circulation, we know a lot about that here because the Redskins for a long time didn't retire jerseys, but you're not supposed to wear 7 and 9 and 44 and all this stuff. I guess what I'm interested in is, did they reach out to Daniels to ask permission to give the 5 to Pickett? And why would they have done that if they felt like it was okay to eventually have him wear the number? And if he's, I guess that was after they'd already promised him 5? Like, take me into that. Also, did you say Burrow has also asked that his number not be used?
That is what Brian Kelly told me. And nobody has worn number 9. You know, if you talk to some people at LSU, there's an unwritten rule, quote unquote, that if you win a Heisman Trophy, they unofficially retire your jersey and nobody wears it. Now, the published policy regarding retired jerseys is that since January 1st, 2007, they'll retire a player's jersey, but they will not retire the number and it will go back into circulation. There's 125 guys on rosters now, there's only 100 numbers. You know, the only jersey that won't ever be worn again by an LSU player is number 20, which was Billy Cannon, the 1959 Heisman Trophy winner, whose jersey was retired decades ago. It's the same thing in basketball with Pete Maravich, Shaq, Shaquille O'Neal, and a couple other guys. So, you know, there's three other jerseys that have been retired in football. And guys are wearing those numbers. Burt Jones, the former LSU quarterback who played in the NFL, his number 7 jersey has been retired in November, but somebody's going to wear number 7 in the future. So I don't know if Jaden Daniels was promised nobody would wear his jersey at LSU after he won the Heisman and feels like that they're breaking that promise. But officially, his jersey has not been retired. And on top of that, you have to wait 5 years after you leave LSU to even be considered for a nomination.
And because of the 2007 change, they can still give the number out anyway if it's retired.
Yeah.
So doesn't that just mean they could still retire his jersey in 2 years? I mean, what's different between his jersey being retired when it's allowed to be and giving it out now?
I just feel like they felt like they were told nobody would ever wear the number. Who said it? I have no idea. You know, that's the assumption that I have after reporting the story.
ESPN's Mark Schlabaugh with us here on G&D, breaking down the Jaden Daniels cease and desist against LSU about the number 5 jersey. So reading the cease and desist letter, I am not an attorney, Mark, but I play one on the radio, I suppose. But what's intriguing to me is if there is any legal grounds here, right? Where the thing I was most interested in was the 180-day sort of period after Daniels finished his time there at LSU. And it sounds like if that's to be believed, LSU is in violation of that. You have any kind of marketing material with him or a video with him or whatever, it's past that 180 days. That's interesting to me in terms of maybe a new frontier for NIL. Just what do you make of that?
Yeah, I'm not an attorney either. If I believe the attorneys on X, which is pretty dangerous.
Right. That's a great practice. That's where I get all my best advice.
Yeah, they don't believe he has much of a legal standing. I do know that in the last couple of years, the 1983 NC State basketball team, which famously won the national championship under Jim Valvano, they filed a lawsuit to get damages because NC State and the ACC and the NCAA continued to use images of them and their name and likeness, you know, to promote March Madness, and they weren't compensated for it, and the case was thrown out of court. You know, there have been a couple other challenges in the past, but from what I understand, again, ex-attorneys and a couple of guys I've talked to, you can't go back and erase history. So if LSU has images or videos of Jaden Daniels playing at LSU, they can use it. That's part of the scholarship agreement, and I don't want to say his NIL agreement, but other NIL agreements that these guys were familiar with.
So the 180 day part of this, is that contractual?
I have not read the contract, but based off what his attorney is saying, you know, reading between the lines there, I think that means that they can't use any new images of him beyond 180 days.
Got you.
At least that's what attorney told me. Again, it's just
meaning
difficult.
Like commander stuff, NFC championship game.
Yep.
But when he's in the purple and gold running away from Florida, that's theirs to have. That would actually make plenty of sense.
It makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, LSU had not responded to the cease and desist letter as of last night. I saw a video on X earlier today from a television station in Baton Rouge or New Orleans that showed video of LSU workers putting up a plaque commemorating Jaden Daniels today. So I don't know that LSU is going to abide by it.
Wow. So,
I mean, hopefully the thing gets worked out. I mean, it's rather silly. I think it's the current state of college athletics in a nutshell. It's all about money and, you know, individuals rather than teams. But it would be a shame if a guy like Jaden Daniels never goes back to LSU and isn't honored at halftime.
Totally. What was his relationship like with the team over the last year?
I would be speaking out of turn. I mean, I assume it was fine. I don't think anything ever became an issue until DJ Pickett showed up wearing number 5.
What's next here? Now we're, again, everybody's pulling, I don't say everybody, I don't know what LSU has done in terms of responses, but, you know, levers are being pulled, and, you know, it's like, it reminds me of a neighbor feuding with another neighbor. It's like, well, I can't respond because your tree overhangs mine, but I sure as hell can play big band music until curfew. You know what I mean? What it seems like we're arguing. What's next here?
Talking to people in DJ Pickett's camp, he will not give up number 5. He has no intention of giving up number 5. He was a freshman All-American last year. He's probably going to be a really high NFL pick at his current trajectory. Everybody in the country wanted him. I know Miami tried to get him to transfer after this past season. He's a kid from Florida. He's got really good size and speed. Led LSU with interceptions as a freshman. He has no intention of surrendering the number. I think it would probably have to come from Jaden Daniels' side. Look, I think he's taking a PR hit, if you believe the people on social media and the reaction. But, you know, he's got to decide whether or not it's worth it to stand his ground.
Yeah, I was going to ask you in terms of you know, the folks in Baton Rouge and LSU fan base. He's such a legend and an icon and just an all-timer. I mean, what has the response and what you've seen been like over the sub 24 hours since this story came out?
Yeah, again, talking to people in Daniel's camp, he doesn't have a beef with Joe Burrow, but I just think that there's this belief that he's being treated differently than Joe Burrow because nobody's worn number 9. Joe Burrow won a Heisman Trophy, and his team went 15-0, and they won a national championship.
Yeah, so I wanted to double-click on that because we have had that kind of whataboutism a lot today where people are going, but it's just Heisman Trophy winners. And I'm going, no, there's three guys, and two are pretty similar. They won the national championship and the Heisman Trophy. And I'm not trying to knock Daniels because, by the way, his defense was terrible, or else he would have won the national championship too. He couldn't do a whole lot more. But I do – every time I hear someone act like it's the exact same thing, no, it's not. I mean, how important is a national title to legacy? We were just talking about Joe Theismann the other day, and we lead with Super Bowls and hardware. To me, that is a huge part of that, no?
No, definitely. I mean, it's the ultimate achievement. It's the ultimate team achievement. As somebody pointed out earlier, I mean, the Heisman's pretty much a quarterback award at this point for the most part. Four out of five times it's going to be a quarterback that wins the award, but I'm taking nothing away from him. He was an unbelievable player at LSU. If he had a mediocre defense, they would have challenged for a national championship. Unfortunately, their defense was terrible. But that Burrow team, I covered about four of their games. That was probably the greatest college football team I've ever seen since Miami in the 80s.
The other thing I wonder, and we're talking to Mark Schlabaugh, who wrote this story and did a lot of great reporting on this. Jaden Daniels versus LSU came out last night. But I do wonder, to my knowledge, there's been no player that was a number 2 prospect in America who wanted to wear number 9. And I just think that the business of college football, to keep up now, you kind of make all kinds of deals with people. You do a lot of things that you wouldn't have wanted to do. And maybe I'm crazy. I think they probably would have said to the kid, we'll get you number 9. And this year, if Lane Kiffin had to hand out number 9 to the number 2 cornerback in America, or else he transfers, he might have handed out number 9.
Yeah, and again, look, I don't know that DJ Pickett doesn't have a clause in his contract with LSU that says, you have to give me number 5 or you're in breach of my contract. I reached out to his agent. He wouldn't talk about it because he didn't want to break the confidentiality agreement with his client. But, I don't know. It's crazy, man. I went back and found a story I'd written in 2003, 23 years ago, about a linebacker prospect named Ernie Sims Jr. out of Tallahassee, Florida, who was the number 1 linebacker in the country. His final 3 schools were Auburn, Georgia, and Florida State, where his father played, and he wanted to wear number 34. Bo Jackson wore 34 at Auburn. Herschel Walker wore 34 at Georgia. Ron Sellers wore 34 at Florida State. They were all 3 retired. Sellers agreed to let the kid have it because he wanted him to play at Florida State.
I could see where you're going with that. Mark Schlabaugh with us here on GD. I am no Lane Kiffin fan by any stretch of the imagination. But to me, he's, you know, what John Calipari was a handful of years ago. He's embracing the system. This is the system now. Everybody was mad for college hoops about one and done. Coach Calipari was like, yep, I'll do one and done. You guys can mess around with all your juniors and seniors. I'll just get lottery picks and we'll try to go compete. And then, of course, college basketball changed. Kiffin understands that at this school especially, you got about 7 seconds to start winning big, or they will run your ass out of town. So for LSU fans who want to honor the history and do this and do that, that's awesome. They're not going to give him any benefit of the doubt if the Pickett kid transfers and they give up a 65-yard touchdown to Florida. I mean, so I guess kind of give me your Kiffin perspective here on this, because he doesn't mind being the villain or a foil character for a while, knowing that his time is probably short.
Nah, I blame Lane Kiffin for a lot of things. I don't blame him for this one. I think he's in a no-win situation. It's a mess he inherited. He knows he's got a damn good cornerback he needs to keep. He didn't coach Jaden Daniels. As Lane, I think I saw his press conference in Baton Rouge today, and he refused to answer another question about it. But, you know, he said, look, promise was made. You know, if you come to this school, we're gonna abide by those promises. And it really wasn't a decision for me to make. It was promised to him in the past. I'm not going to talk why he didn't wear it last year. I don't know why it didn't happen, but I'm not going to talk about things that happened in the past.
Last one for me. I mean, what's your best prediction on how we have a breakthrough here or what happens next, when how this ends?
Hopefully Jaden Daniels starts worrying about playing for the Commanders.
Succinct.
Yeah, that's where we're at, Mark.
Mark, yeah. Thank you.
When I heard it last night or yesterday afternoon, I was like, yeah, I want it. I love it. It's college football. It's pettiness and drama and everything else, but it's a jersey number. Come on.
Yeah.
On both sides.
Well, I was going to say, and that goes both ways.
It's
too,
a jersey number. Sure. Come on. By the way, put that on a t-shirt. I'm all for that.
Thanks, Mark. We appreciate you.
Appreciate you.
Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend. Thank you.
It's Mark Schlabaugh of ESPN with us on Grant and Danny, who had the story last night.
Because Kiffin is such a lightning rod that his involvement automatically generates so much attention and outsized influence. But I'm actually with Mark on this one. To disagree, again, I am not a Lane Kiffin fan. In fact, I think he is emblematic of everything that's bad about college football. The way that his exit out of Ole Miss and everything that goes with it, and he's in the Lane Kiffin business. I mean, he's Bobby Petrino with better PR. I mean, this is who this dude is. But in this case, the guy that's, you know, it's almost like the career criminal who shows up and is an innocent bystander in this one. All he's trying to do is win immediately in a sport where you are 100% rewarded for winning immediately. Honoring the past and all that other kind of stuff, that's great for the alums. What's even better, though, is winning the football games that are coming up on your schedule. And he's got to do whatever he has to re-recruit and make this future lottery pick here in DJ Pickett as happy as a clam for him to have any shot at anything. So to me, he walked into, as Mark said, he walked into a bad situation. He's just doing what college coaches do now, to me.
Yeah, I don't think Lane Kiffin is the bad guy here. The athletic director, Virg Ausberry, has only been there for like 9 months since 25. So that's the other tough thing, is you're now dealing with all new people. The people that struck this deal with you, mm-hmm. that were supposed to take care of you, are the people that are gone. And there's new folks in here. It's no different than like if you and CK have some agreement on you're allowed to get here, you know, right before the show or whatever it is, and then we have a new program director, you're going, hey, this is kind of what they told me. And he's like, nah, dude, not anymore. There's a little bit of that here. But I think I would want the AD, not Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin's job is not, I think you said this, to preserve the history. Like, the athletic director has to have the bigger view. So he should go, one of our principles is going to be looking out for our guys, our historically significant, important, vital players. Jaden Daniels is one of our three Heisman Trophy winners, is one of those guys. So we can't give out number five. And then Lane Kiffin goes, but dude, it's like the head coach versus GM thing. I really need this player. I really need him. And you've got to decide. Can you sweeten the pot enough for this player to wear another number and stay? Or do you actually lose this recruit? Lose this, in this case, this player who was excellent for them and is going to turn into one of the best corners in America. If you're an LSU fan, I wonder how you feel about this. And I'm curious, actually, if there's some Tigers fans listening, because what would they be thinking? You definitely want to do right by the Heisman Trophy winner who gave you one of the great years in your program's history. What an amazing, exciting thing when he went for 50 touchdowns. But at the same time, this is one of your best football players. And if it really is as simple as odd as it is, he gets five or he leaves in some ultimatum or a contractual obligation or whatever, that if you break it, he then transfers to Alabama. Yeah,
he'll have suitors.
Are you sure? You're not going to prioritize the corner this year over honoring the player from the 10-win team? You know, when we keep comparing him to Burrow, like, I haven't gotten to know Daniels personally well. I've interacted with him a few times. He's always been very, very pleasant. I enjoy everything about how I see him interact with people. I think he's the real deal. I think he's a genuine person. Like, we talk about this all the time. Whatever little questions you have about durability or something here or there, none of it has to do with the controllable stuff from him and his work and like the type of person and the character. And I feel the same way today and tomorrow. I'll feel the same way as I always have about him. But I say all that to then say, the comparison with Burrow to me is like isn't apple to apple. When there's a guy that was a part of the best team in the history of the program, who was a 15-0 quarterback that year, 15-0 team, who won the Heisman Trophy and the national championship on number one team maybe ever in college football, And then you've got Daniels, who was on a 10-3 team, not his fault, right? But a team that didn't even win the SEC title. And Daniels didn't even play in the bowl. Like, he was like, yeah, I'm getting ready for the draft. I won't play in the ReliaQuest Bowl. Those ends are not the same. And no one seems to care about it. It's just like, Heisman Trophy winner, jersey gets retired. I don't see it that way.
Mm.
But regardless, do I think it was disrespectful to him? Yeah, probably. At the same time, this feels like one of those things where you, let's handle this next offseason. As soon as the year ends, to my agent, to my whoever the camp is, everyone keeps talking about his camp, whoever those people are.
Yeah, whoever's in the camp.
In January, we race hell. We ride in January. But right now, Eagles, Seahawks, Cowboys.
Oh my God, that's NFC first 3 weeks. East. Holy crap.
And he's not focusing on this. Like, I'm not saying he is. But all of this attention, he's posting a statement today, which was a great, very good statement.
Really good statement.
He's going to be asked about it in press conferences. You're having dinner with your, you know, people in your camp or an agent or whoever, and you're around these people. It's going to be a topic of conversation. It's noise. It's unnecessary. It just seems unforced. It's all unforced. And this is not the middle of the offseason. September's 2 weeks away. It just seems so crazy to me.
Yeah, it all centers around the grievance over a number.
Mark, I think we get that.
Yeah, Mark just said it. He goes, it's a number, man. Come on. Right? So many schools with so much history don't have jerseys retired. And LSU doesn't really either. I don't know. It just, I can't get over that individual fact of it, that this entire squabble that's now involving lawyers and cease and desist letters and billable hours and, you know, and any kind of rock fight is over the jersey number.
It seems like it's very much for him a frustration that Burrow is getting treated differently, according to Schlaybaugh. And I wonder, too, I'm pretty sure Caleb Williams' jersey got retired by USC already. I wonder if that's not part of it, too, because they're linked all the time, 1 and 2, and so much of a juxtaposition and a rivalry between the two. Healthy rivalry. But in some way, that might chap you a little bit, too, where it's like, wait, that guy had his jersey retired already? But you're giving mine out to this cornerback?
Yeah, you've just discovered college football. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. What's most important to you? That your school wins? Or this stuff.
Grant and Danny on The Fan.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with 3 key clean ingredients and backed by over 4 decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out. That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. Just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at Grunes.co.
Spring is finally here, and it's that time of year when plans start becoming real. Trips are getting booked, the calendar is filling up, and the energy is shifting. Make this season count. By starting right now, you'll hit summer already feeling more confident speaking and understanding a brand new language. Whether you're prepping for a dream vacation, reconnecting with your family heritage, or just finally checking learn a new language off your bucket list, Rosetta Stone is the way to go. They've been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years because they skip the boring stuff. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists or leaning on chunky translations. Instead, their intuitive method helps you naturally absorb the language by connecting words and visuals to real-world meaning. It's about learning in context, the way language was actually meant to be learned. As a trusted expert with millions of users, Rosetta Stone offers 25 different languages, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. It really is the ultimate tool for genuine growth.
Ready to start learning a new language this spring? Visit rosettastone.com/RS10 today to explore Rosetta Stone and choose the language that's right for you. Go to rosettastone.com/RS10 now and begin your language learning journey.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Hey, Little Bob here. Bob's Discount Furniture has the furniture you've waited 250 years for. We've got power reclining sofas as low as $7.99, five-piece dining sets as low as $3.99, Bob-O-Pedic mattresses for as low as $2.99, and of course, feature-packed bestsellers like my Playday sectional with pop-up sleeper sofa. So stop in or shop mybobs.com to see where America shops for furniture.
Oh, my Bob!
Now open in Vestal.
Mike Jones, of course, covered the team here for several years during the 2010s for the Washington Post. He's been a writer at The Athletic for a few years now. As a national NFL writer, at By Mike Jones on X, he joins us right now. Mike was here and out at camp a few days ago and wrote a really good story about Terry McLaurin. I'll get to that and some of the specifics from that in a moment. But overall, what kind of vibe did you get about this year's team? And were you there before the Tunsil injury or after?
I was there the day before and then the day that he got hurt. We weren't sure exactly what the injury when he went to the tent. We weren't sure exactly what it was when he walked off of practice. It was pretty early in practice, if I'm remembering correctly.
Right.
But we weren't sure exactly what it was. So the Stephon Diggs first day, I was there. So you had the excitement there. And then the Diggs day, which wound up being, you know, a little bit of a blow. But the vibe... a young and hungry team. Obviously, the defense has been revamped with a lot of younger guys. Should be more explosive, should be better. The offense seems like they're re-energized. Obviously, healthy Jaden Daniels makes a big difference. Healthy Terry McLaurin being there, not holding out, makes a big difference. It seems like they have a lot of competition at positions like wide receiver. There's some promise at tight end, in the running back position. So you want to see that. You want to see a lot of competition. You want to see guys battling for jobs because competition makes everybody better.
So where do you think, coming off that visit, and you'll visit with a lot of NFL teams here over the next few weeks, where do you think they, you know, rank right now among not only the teams in the division but in the NFC?
I think that they could be a 9-10 win team. So if you're 9-8, 10-7, that's pretty good bounce back from 5-12. And you really never know in this division here, because obviously you have the Eagles who, you know, seem like they're the top dogs, but they have a rookie offensive coordinator who's only been coaching in the NFL for a couple years and has never called plays before. You're working to replace A.J. Brown. You've got a talented rookie, you think, but we'll see. And defensively, they've, you know, had done some retooling here and there, but still have a lot of talent. So, you know, they should be very competitive. And then you have the Cowboys who obviously promise on offense. They're starting over on defense, have a lot of new faces, new first-time coordinator. That'll take a little time. So they were historically bad on defense. They'll improve, but they're going to take some lumps, and the Giants are starting over with a head coach, and you know, they have young talent, but they have to learn how to win in this league. So I think Washington can be right in the thick of things, among the top, you know, two or three teams if they can stay healthy. You know, and they have learning process to go through with their own rookie offensive coordinator. But we'll see. I think, though, that you know, it's very realistic that they could be competing for a playoff spot.
Do you know this, right? 35 new coordinators this year, a record yep. number of new coordinators in new places, not necessarily first-time coordinators, but new coordinators to the team they are with. I mean, there's 64 in total, you know, right. an offensive coordinator and a defensive coordinator times 32, and there are more than half that are new to their positions this year. What do you think that's a reflection of? Is it about sort of just the impatience that everybody has?
Some of it is, and then some of it's, you know, the number of those coordinators got jobs, you know.
There was a lot of new, right, sure.
You know, some of those, you know, I think, okay, say Joe Brady, Mike LaFleur, Clint Kubiak, Todd Monken, they were all offensive coordinators who got new jobs. And then you had Jeff Hafley, who was a defensive coordinator, got a head coaching job. You know, so there were six, I think, first-time head coaches, and all of them were coordinators. So that's a chunk of it. And then you have teams like Washington where the guys weren't getting the job done, and the head coach has got to get things turned around. And so they're making changes. So I think it was something like 21 offensive coordinators, 14 new defensive coordinators, a lot of change, because these head coaches know that the window of opportunity does not last very long. You get 2-3 seasons. I mean, look, Raheem Morris had 8-9 and was flirting with the playoffs last year and just barely missed out and got fired, you know, in Atlanta. There, you don't get a lot of time, so these coaches know, hey, we've got to, you know, we don't have time for patience. And that's why I feel like Dan Quinn is in a really interesting position, because they had that great first year. Last year was really bad because of all the injuries and just age and things. And then he's starting over with two rookie head coordinators, which could take some time for them to learn, especially on offense. And so he's got to at least be competitive, or otherwise they make a change. And so it's a little bit of a roll of a dice, and that's what all these head coaches are doing when they're making changes, because some of them weren't awful situations, but they had to, you know, they felt like they had to get better. And it's going to be interesting to see which ones pay off, because some of these guys will wind up being one and done because their head coaches are going to get fired after this year. And then some of these new coordinators will be propelled to wind up being head coaches in a couple of years.
All right, I want to get to the story you wrote on Terry McLaurin, which is why I reached out to you. Terry, in his sit-down with you, described this last year as the hardest year of his life. And he said, also, I've been going through some stuff off the field, just personally. There was another quote in which he said that he's had great anxiety that he's been dealing with. There was a lot in here between the lines in your story that I found interesting. We all know what he went through last summer, and we know that he did not get the deal that he and his agent probably thought they should get. And it was very, very tough for him. But it seemed like it was even more in reading your story, that he's been dealing with something. Tell me what that is.
Yeah, you know, I think that a lot of it did have to do with the fact that he is so loyal to this team and thought that he, look, I've got great importance, they value me. And then when you go and they basically tell you, you're not as good as you think you are. We're not opening up the checkbook in this way. And he said that, you know, he's somebody that gets anxiety, that worries a lot, and he kind of like struggled with his sense of self-worth and wondering, maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe I'm not as good as I think I am. And then the whole business of football, Bobby Engram, the wide receivers coach, said, look, this was his first time dealing with that. Bobby Engram was a 14-year veteran. He said, I've seen it. I've been through it. And for Terry, you know, your agent's telling you one thing, and then they're saying, hey, don't go to practice. You got to hold out. you don't be there for your teammates, and Terry's a very loyal guy, and not being there, so there was conflict there, and him feeling like, man, this is not the way I like going about things. And so I think that the battle internally with, okay, am I as good as I think I am? Am I as valuable? Am I being true to myself? I think that that sprinkled over into a number of areas, and he said he really had to dig in and spend time with family, with longtime friends, spend time digging into his faith just so he could really kind of regain who he was and figure out that his worth was not just tied to football, because all of that was swirling around. And then he finally gets a deal, and then he gets hurt. And so then he's like, man, this is not something that I've dealt with before. And you can't be, you know, you try to get back out there, and he, you know, missed three games, got back out there, got hurt again. And so nothing felt right. Nothing felt normal for him. And so it was, you know, and Bobby Engram explained, like, when guys are hurt and they're not on the practice field and sometimes they're not at the facility, it's very isolating, and you don't feel. And Bobby said he spent a lot of time trying to stay in contact and help Terry feel involved, even though he wasn't playing, because he knows how lonely that can be. And so all of that added up to a very difficult mentally, emotional distress for Terry.
There's a quote in here from your story where Terry says, I've been somebody who's kind of struggled with worry, struggled with anxiety, sometimes not feeling good enough, as you mentioned. It can kind of make you feel insecure at times. You mentioned that as well. That is such the antithesis of the position he plays and what you hear from most people who play that position in the league. He's always been different. He's been the opposite of a diva at the position. But man, that was some real honesty about the way he was feeling, because he's certainly a really good receiver. But man, to say and to admit anxiety, worry, insecurity is pretty amazing to hear from somebody playing that position.
Yeah, and it kind of like when you pull back the layers and you wonder, why the heck is A.J. Brown act the way he does here? Well, you know, if you're not getting the ball a certain amount of times, then you can't, they feel like you can't prove your worth to your team. And if you're not involved in the game plan and you're not proving your worth to your team, then okay, are you going to be discarded soon? You know, and so there's all these what ifs that play out in players' minds. And so obviously, you know, if you're Terry, you know, you were hoping to get a certain kind of deal, you got a smaller deal that was shorter term, and then you wonder, okay, am I still relevant? Do I matter? Can I still help this team? Is my replacement coming next year? And that's something that a lot of players at all kinds of different positions, you know, deal with. But you're right, for Terry to actually admit that, that's something that not a lot of guys are able to do. But I think it speaks to the healing that he's gone through, where he's like, look, I dealt with this, and now I'm in such a better place, and I grew from that. He said, I wouldn't trade it. Even though it was the hardest year of his life, he said, I wouldn't trade it, because it's helped me grow as a person, as a man, as a player.
Yeah, well, so you kind of answered the next thing. We're talking with Mike Jones from The Athletic, which is, you know, where is his mental, headspace right now? And it's clearly, and you wrote this, he feels good, and he feels like going through that has made him stronger. I mean, are you expecting a big year if he stays healthy?
Yeah, I think so. And look, you know, it's interesting because they bring in Diggs, who has been a 1,000-yard machine. I think it might be 6 of the last 7 years. He's had 1,000-yard seasons, 4 Pro Bowls. Some guys would be threatened by that. Terry said, look, I've done this almost by myself for 6 years as far as being double-teamed and not having somebody to really take a lot of pressure off. He was happy when they brought in Diggs because, as Bobby said, he just wants to be a part of something special. He, you know, obviously he wants to have an impact and wants to be involved, but if you're racking up all these yards and your team isn't winning, it's not as fulfilling. So he was happy that Diggs comes because he said he and I are a lot alike and it's going to help us because the defenses can't just key on one of us. Then the other guy's going to go off and that's going to command attention. Then the next guy's going to go off. And so he was one of the first guys when Diggs got there to, you know, extend a welcome to him. And that just speaks again to maturity, to being invested in the team and understanding that everybody fits together as a puzzle piece and pulls together. And so I do think that he is going to bounce back. He looks strong, looks explosive, looks, you know, as determined and quick as ever. And, you know, he's hoping for a big year. Bobby said he's expecting a big year out of him. They feel like this offense is going to be a lot different and lead to more opportunities with the more motions and things like that. It was against, you know, it's early in practice. They're going against, you know, their defense. Sometimes it's second string guys. But I saw David Blau draw guys open, you know, Terry and Diggs and Burks and McCaffrey kept finding openings in the defense. Now, there's no game planning going on. It's just training camp practice. Right. But the X's and O's and the creativity that their offensive coordinator has is there, and they have a quarterback that can, you know, do things with the ball that some can't. So I do think that Terry can have a real bounce-back year and have an impact.
You know, Mike, basically the contract is one in which he's got to perform this year, or he is, for all intents and purposes, in the same situation Daron Payne is in. You know, Daron Payne has no years left on his deal. But the point is that they can easily move on in 27 without him, without much pain and penalty, because the 44.5 guaranteed is essentially all done in these 2 years, last year and this year. So does he realize that to stay here, he's got to have a big year?
Yeah, but I don't think, whereas last year he was, you know, kind of plagued by that anxiety, or the year before even, of like, okay, what's going to happen? I think that he seems like he's much more secure in his standing, secure in himself. And he knows, look, I just got to go out there and perform. And then whatever happens, happens. He's learned from last year's experience. He's learned about, you know, the approach that he has to have and what he has to do mentally to help kind of, you know, protect himself from some of the adverse effects of the situation. And he's excited. He's eager. He's confident and really just ready to get rolling.
We're talking to Mike Jones from The Athletic. All right, let's just kind of look around the league. It's always tough. The NFL's really, really tough to predict. But I'll ask you first about a team that on paper looks about as imposing on both sides of the ball as any team we've seen in a while, and that's the Rams. Do you consider them to be, in terms of just pure talent, the best team in the league?
I think so. And if they wind up getting Aaron Donald back, their defense gets that much scarier. But they have everything you need offensively. You've got dynamic wide receivers. You've got tight ends. You've got a two-headed rushing attack. You've got a really savvy MVP caliber quarterback and a great offensive mind. Then you look at the other side of the ball, and you've got, you know, they invested in their secondary, getting, you know, some all-pro and Pro Bowl defensive backs to go back there. And then you get Myles Garrett. So you're going to be getting after the quarterback. And then, you know, if you have a strong secondary that helps your pass rush, they, if they can stay healthy, are the team that top to bottom looks like they're built for a championship run. Now, you never know. Somebody could come out of nowhere. We didn't expect Seattle was going to make the run that they did. But on
England.
Paper, yes. You know, yeah, or New England. But on paper, the Rams look like the team to be feared.
All right. Let's talk about teams that you just have strong hunches about. I'm sure you've been thinking about it, and as you've been visiting various places, give me a team in both conferences that you feel basically is being undervalued right now.
I know it's hard to say this because of the way things ended for them last year, but I think the Houston Texans are going to be a problem. Their defense somehow got even more dynamic and imposing than this past offseason. And they just need C.J. Stroud to play within the offense and to make good decisions. If he takes care of the ball and cuts down on two of those turnovers, they beat New England. And then obviously they're going to beat Jarrett Stidham and the wounded Broncos and go to the Super Bowl. Stroud is a second year. I was there in Houston, second year in the offense with Nick Cayley. They're building onto that. They've overhauled their offensive line. They've added another running back in David Montgomery. You know, Tank Dell is looking healthy. Nico Collins is a monster. They really could cause trouble for a lot of teams and be right up there in the mix. And I know a lot of people are looking at C.J. Stroud. Hey, are you going to get over the hump? Are you going to, is he going to earn a long-term extension? I think that they have a real chance to do that as far as the AFC. And the NFC, I feel like after, the Rams, it's pretty wide open because the Seahawks lost a lot of people. The 49ers, you just never know what their injury status is going to be. The Eagles are strong. I think that they're going to be right up there. Teams that could be underrated, Tampa could bounce back, or I also could see Tampa going the other way and going south and then wind up blowing the whole thing up. And that's kind of the reason why I think things have been slow with Baker Mayfield. The Lions could bounce back. Minnesota is going to be very intriguing. They've got a great defense, and Kyler Murray can add a new dimension to that offense. So there's a lot of teams in the NFC that I think the NFC South, they're all going to just scratch and claw and beat each other up. NFC North, we'll see with the Packers. They've always been close and haven't got over the hump. Could this be the year they do? There's a lot of teams that are just like right within like inches of each other. And, and I think it's going to be a neck and neck race with everybody trying to keep up with the Rams.
I'm so with you on Houston. I mean, midseason last year, I started to made a wager on Houston winning the AFC championship in like week 7 or week 8 last year. And I still think, and I've said this a million times since the playoff game in Foxborough, if Kaley and D'Amico Ryans had just handed the ball off 3 times and punted another 7 or 8 times, I think they would have won that game. And they would have gone on to beat, they probably would have beaten Denver in the AFC title game. No Nico Collins. They lost, I think, Schultz in the playoff game. They were banged up. But the question, you nailed it, is Stroud. I think Montgomery is a great add for them offensively. I like Stroud. I was surprised at how poorly he played at times last year, especially in that playoff game. I wouldn't be surprised if he bounces back with a good year. What are his biggest what are the biggest concerns with Stroud?
Well, I think what they've done this offseason has helped take away some of those concerns. He was not confident in his line. There were times that he was throwing the ball away to defenders before he even had to. It was like rushing because he was seeing ghosts and thinking that the rush was going to be coming sooner than it was. So he's got a better offensive line. Also, stronger run game. That's going to put him in shorter third down situations. So, and Kaley is, I spent a lot of time with him, and he's telling him, like, you don't have to be a superhero. You've got the table set around you. And so if he can just make smart decisions, and we saw him do it his rookie year. I think he only had like 5 interceptions his rookie year and 20-some touchdown passes, and then the number jumped up a little bit the next year, and Bobby Slowick didn't do a good job of developing a counterpunch for that offense. And then last year, he's learning a new offense. So I think in his second year, he's going to be more comfortable, and I think he trusts what's in front of him a little bit better now. Obviously, we're going to see when the games happen, but just being smart, taking care of the football. And D'Amico Ryan said he didn't tell him he needs to be an elite playmaker. He said, I just need you to be an elite decision maker. And if you're an elite decision maker, sometimes that's throwing the ball in the ground. Sometimes that's, running it. Or sometimes that's just, avoiding a disaster and living to see the next play. And if he does that, they're going to win games because nobody was scoring on that defense last year, and they're even better now. Nobody's going to score on them, and they could easily won a game against Denver, and I think that they'll be able to score and be able to play, hang with a lot of teams.
Yeah, I mean, defense is the is the most variable of the two sides of the ball year to year. But man, that they were, I'm not saying they were the 85 Bears, but they were one of the best defenses at the end of last season that we've seen in a long time. And as you mentioned, they got better. A couple of quarterback questions. Is it over for J.J. McCarthy in Minnesota? Well, I mean, clearly they don't believe in him.
Yeah, well, they messed the whole thing up last year, starting him when he'd been out all of his rookie year. They should have franchised Sam Darnold and then just given him another redshirt year to play behind him and learn and understand how to approach the game as a professional, because that was part of it. I don't think it's done for him because he's got Kyler Murray in front of him, and Kyler Murray can never stay healthy. if healthy, I think Kyler Murray will be very good in this offense. If he gets hurt, the door is open for J.J. McCarthy, and if he's got the right approach and the right mindset to this, then that opportunity could be something that he parlays into to a bigger deal for him, a bigger opportunity and chances for him continuing to start. So we'll see what happens. It is definitely their saying, we don't think we can win with you right now. But again, if it's week 8, Kyler Murray gets hurt like Kyler Murray normally does, and they've got that defense, and if J.J. McCarthy can understand, hey, let me be a game manager instead of a hero, then maybe he regains trust and takes care of his future a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not suggesting that his career is over at 23 years old. I mean, Carson Beck is older than McCarthy is. But I just think as long as Kevin O'Connell's there, he's basically told everybody at this point, going out and signing Murray and then making the decision so quickly in camp that McCarthy's not his guy. He was the GM's guy.
Yeah, I agree.
The former GM's guy.
Yeah, even though from, accounts, it's not like, Kyler Murray has looked amazing in practice. There have been times that he's said, but that just shows you the professional approach and the maturity is what's standing out to Kevin O'Connell, and so we'll see again how it plays out. If Kyler Murray is healthy, then I am just really excited to see what the creativity that O'Connell has and what that offense can do. Again, if he gets hurt and, McCarthy can play smart, then maybe, he can heal things. But right now, I think there's a lot he would have to do to be able to get back in O'Connell's good graces.
I mean, for Kyler Murray, it could be a Baker Mayfield, Heisman Trophy, Oklahoma quarterback, resurrection in Minnesota. Kevin O'Connell's certainly capable of doing that. He did it with Darnold. The big difference is Kyler Murray's about 5'8". I mean, he really is tiny. Shedeur Sanders or Deshaun Watson in Cleveland?
I mean, I think.
And by the way, why doesn't anybody mention Dylan Gabriel? Like, I haven't heard his name at all.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he just looks that much farther behind them. They've got a really bad situation there. I don't know if Deshaun Watson, this is basically his last chance. And I think that their thinking is, okay, let's try to see if we can roll with him, get a little more out of him, and then if it's not, then we turn it over to Sanders. But I mean, look, I know you can't put all the stock in training camp numbers, but I think he's thrown 9 interceptions in 12 practices.
Now, sometimes quarterbacks, Watson or Sanders?
Watson.
Okay.
Has. Wow. Yeah. Now, that's something like Patrick Mahomes throws a lot of interceptions in practices too, but it's always experimenting. He's like, okay, let me see if I can fit this ball here and let me learn from this. I was in Tennessee and Cam Ward throws a number of interceptions, but he and Dable are talking and they're trying to figure out, he's like trying to learn, okay, what do I do in this situation? Can I fit the ball here? Can I not? I think Deshaun Watson's interceptions are just because he's bad. And he's just trying to get the groove back, and I don't know if it's going to come. And so I feel bad for Todd Monken. He basically, this is going to be a 1-year deal, and then they're going to blow the whole thing up. But I guess, he's going to get, $20 million just sit at home. But this is, they'll go, I think it'll be Watson, and then Sanders will take over, maybe 4 weeks in, 5-6 weeks. And it's just, unfortunately for Cleveland, the suffering is going to continue.
Mike, does Carson Beck have a chance to be the starter opening day for the Cardinals?
I think that they want to give him time. I think that they're intrigued by him, but they had him throughout all the OTAs where he was getting more action because Jacoby Brissett wasn't there, and it was just him and Gardner Minshew. And then early in camp, they gave Jacoby Brissett the extension. So I think that their thinking is, let's continue to work with this kid. He started the first preseason game and didn't look bad. And so I think that he has a chance, but they know that it's a learning process. And so they also need to continue to improve everything around him. Offensive line is not very good, and you don't want to put a rookie in that situation. So I think Brissett's going to be the guy. But I wouldn't be surprised if we see Carson Beck at some point this season, because they're not going to win a lot of games.
Thank you, as always. Enjoy the rest of the preseason. I think something you said is very noteworthy for everybody that, you know, lives on Twitter training camp play by play. Sometimes the interceptions are almost on purpose, people.
Right.
It depends on the quarterback and the coaching instruction. But that's why you can't take too much out of that this time of year. Thanks, as always. Yeah. I'll talk to you soon.
Hey, no problem. Always enjoy it.
Mike Jones from The Athletic, everybody. All right, the joint practice is underway out in Ashburn. We'll give you an update on that. There's a massive sports business story that I'll share with you when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fam. Excited to jump on the Rude guest hotline right now. Rude is the official show sponsor of B. Mitchell Finley. Don't melt this summer. Upgrade to high-efficiency HVAC and enjoy budget-friendly financing options with low monthly payments. Keep your cool. Keep your cash. Find a Rude Pro partner at Rude.com. If it ain't Rude.
It ain't right.
Joining us right now is our friend Martenzie Johnson. Covers the Commanders for Notice. Martenzie, what's up, man? How you been?
I'm good. How y'all doing? You staying out of the sun today?
Yeah, dude. Trying, I think everybody's happy for air conditioning today.
Yeah, it's not air conditioning coming from a tent.
Exactly. We've been out there every day with you, and I want to mostly just talk ball, but I was curious kind of your reaction to the Jaden Daniels cease and desist letter this morning.
Yeah, I guess my only thing is it seems like there's some conflicting messages out there.
Right.
We see that the letter doesn't mention anything about the jersey, but then a spokesperson for Jaden says basically this is all about the jersey number. So I guess we'll have to ask Jaden ourselves next week. But at this point, this is a legal thing, man. This is Drake and Kendrick, man. I'm bored by that. I'd rather talk football, you know?
Yeah, dude. It's also like, this seems so highly technically legal that I just don't know what's going on with it. Like, I wish everyone good luck.
Yeah, exactly.
We were talking yesterday as you were leaving practice. What stood out to you most watching the Dolphins and the Commanders on the practice field?
Yeah, coming in, my main goal, and I think this applies to tomorrow's preseason game as well, is just looking at the offensive line. When you got two, you know, supposed starters who aren't going to play in Nick Allegretti, at least for the time being, and then Laremy Tunsil for the long term, you want to know what the protection is going to look like both for Jaden and the running backs. I thought it was decent enough for Jaden. I don't think pass protection, at least right now, is an issue. It's really the interior line. So that would include Julian Good-Jones, who's replacing Allegretti, and then Chris Paul, and then Coleman. But I think it's more so just the interior. Bill Crosby Merritt and Rashad White were practically going nowhere most of that joint practice. That could just be a, you know, we just had to reshuffle things a couple days ago, so we're getting used to it. Or it could be a long-term problem where, again, maybe not the pass protection, but the running game might struggle because the offensive lineman can't, you know, push the defensive lineman backwards. So that was what stood out to me because that's what I went in looking at. But then also the defense. I had such high hopes for the defense. I think we all did. We saw what the pass rush, what the run stuffing could do when the defense was going against the Commander's offense. And they did it against the Dolphins too, with the caveat of I don't know how good the Dolphins are, but they do have an offensive line that has two, I think, all pros, right? Or at least Pro Bowlers. So, like, they went against quality competition there, and I thought the defense just stood out. That two-minute drill at the end where I think I counted five plays that the Dolphins ran, and Malik Willis got sacked on three of them. Amik broke up the other pass, and I think they actually got a pass off, which is one of the few passes I saw them get off all day, and then Nick Cross was right there and blew that up. So I think the defense is as advertised, but that definitely stood out, not to mention, you know, Jaden and the receiver.
What do you think caused the most problem? Was it the speed of the defense of the Commanders that caused them the problems?
Yeah. I mean, Adafe and Caleb coming off the edge is like, you know, Michael Johnson sprinting. Like, he was in the backfield quicker than the offensive lineman for the Dolphins were, it seemed like. But then it's just the strength too, like the ability getting around them. It's just the defense is just so capable of you know, ruining the play before it even starts. We've seen this throughout camp with the Commanders' offense, and it just continued with Miami's on Wednesday.
One thing I noticed is when you're watching the same team practice every day for weeks at a time like we do in training camp, you can kind of get focused or caught up in what you think you're seeing. But once you see them against someone else is when you realize if it's good or not. And I think the most rewarding thing from that practice, if you're Dan Quinn and that coaching staff, is like, all right, this actually does look pretty good. Like, well, these guys are moving forward in a manner to implement our systems. And I think their systems have some real merit.
Yeah. Like, what do you all call it? Ashburn syndrome or whatever?
Yeah.
Like you watch, you know, a seventh rounder, you know, take all these reps for 2 or 3 weeks, you're like, oh my God, this guy is a Pro Bowler. And then they go against other competition, you're like, oh, no, I was just playing. You know, I was wrong here. But with the defensive front seven, like you said, going against the Commanders' offensive line, which has been banged up, having guys in and out, maybe you start to think, maybe they're not as good as I think they are because they're not going up against a unit at full strength. But again, the Dolphins actually have good offensive linemen. And the same thing I've been seeing the last 3 weeks with the Commanders' offensive line, the same thing happened to the Miami offensive line. We might have questions about how well the Commanders' offense will do this year because there's a lot of moving parts, there's a new offensive coordinator, all these sorts of things. I am certain that the Washington defense is going to be like a top five, top three unit. I don't need to see any more. They're just that fast. They get after it. The secondary is still coming along, and I think they're really good. And Sonny Styles, I haven't even mentioned him yet. Yeah, it's just so many moving parts for that defense where you can write it in stone. They're going to be one of the best defenses in the league.
Could it be that defense is so damn good and the offense has to go against them, it makes them a lot better as well in the long run?
Look, all I'll say is the Seahawks and the Patriots played in the Super Bowl last year, and I don't think their offenses, save for Jackson Smith and Jigba, were at all that good. And the defense has carried them all the way to the Super Bowl. That's not to say that that's going to happen in Washington, but as you mentioned, B-Mitch, like the defense can make it so much easier for the offense that, like with the Patriots, that snow game against, who was that, the Broncos?
Yeah.
I can't remember who. Yeah.
There was Stidham out there.
Drake May didn't have to do anything. He just had to breathe, and they got to all the way to the Super Bowl. So, yeah, I think it will make it so much easier for the offense when the defense is just getting, you know, their opponents off the field with ease.
Man, that is it's great to have somebody with new eyes watch that and just not be bogged down by, like, last year or years past, because they have looked good so far, man, and they are kind of flying through the football, and I think there is a documented track record of, like, that Brian Flores coaching tree defensively looked balling out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I'm excited, really, for tomorrow, and I don't know how much of, you know, the regular season playbook they're going to put out there, but yeah. I'm a fan of blitzing, especially in, you know, quote-unquote meaningless games. So I'm really excited to see the defenders get after it tomorrow if, you know, Durante Jones is living up to the Brian Flores, you know, coaching tree stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know that we see it tomorrow, but we might see it when we get to Philadelphia.
I think blitzing is just a part of what they do.
Yeah.
You know, like the lining up and having the guys in all the gaps and, you know, looking like you're about to bring eight and you three people rushing, you drop out people, it makes quarterbacks have to think. And sometimes they make the wrong mistake. They may throw that ball straight to a guy that's dropping out instead of coming. So, I think that's a part of their defense, which we may call it blitz and they call it everyday work.
I think Joshua Joseph, after said, like, you know, we can just send four. We don't even really need to blitz. And I don't think he's lying. Like, whether it's the defensive tackles, the defensive ends, the edge rushers, they can get after without having to send five, six guys.
I've been impressed by Rasul Douglas. What do you make of the veteran corner?
You know, the thing about Rasul that I don't understand is how he is so good and yet only stays on teams for like 1 year. Like, he's playing against the Dolphins, who could probably use a good cornerback, and yet he's on Washington right now. Like, he's real sticky. He, like, think it was earlier this week, he was going against Terry McLaurin in one-on-ones, and Terry got the best of him, but Terry had to work for it. Terry maybe even had to push off a little to get him off of it. Rasul is really good. The thing I just don't understand is why no team wants to have him for longer than, at this point, like a year at a time.
Any players that we expect to play tomorrow night? Like, I'm really excited to see Katron Allen go tomorrow night because we haven't seen a ton of him in camp. Are there any players like that that we know will play in this preseason debut that you're excited to see?
Joshua Joseph, who I just mentioned. Like,
he's been great.
Caleb and Adafe obviously have been the highlights of the edge rushers just because they're so good and they're the veterans. But Joshua Joseph has stood out, and I know you like him, JP. I'm excited to see what he can really do. I think he did really well even against the Dolphins. I saw him, you know, mucking some stuff up there. So I think out of anybody who's going to play, which is really probably the second and third teamers, Joshua is definitely one to stand out.
Joseph has looked really good, man. He's got kind of that size and length off the edge. The guys in the 40s, man, I like Javonte Jean-Baptiste. I've covered him for a few years, but he's shown real good bend, too. And I don't know if Chaisson will go, but he's in there, too. Anybody you think – is there anybody that you think needs to show up in a big way kind of as we look ahead to the end of the month with roster cuts?
Sam Hartman, perhaps? Like, yeah. I think they're going to keep, what, three quarterbacks? I think that's what they did last year, right? Two or three? I don't think the rookie is going to push him out, but you know, I think there could be competition with him and Mariota. Not really, because Mariota is going to be number two, but I do think Sam, this is year two for him, or three?
Three.
This is three for him. Like, I think you do have to show something, and he's been kind of up and down from at least from the training camp days. So I would want to see more from him because he's not that distinguishable.
Right.
I keep calling him a rookie because I don't want to mess up Athens' name, his last name. But
Kellyak Manis.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you, B-Mitch. but I would need to see more from Sam to guarantee that he's on the team again because, again, he's had some bright spots, you know, as recently as last week, but it's really been up and down for him in that third quarterback spot.
Yeah, we've kind of seen this for a few years now. Frankly, I think if they keep a third quarterback, he's not on the roster right now. But that's why they play the games. We'll see what happens over the next couple of weeks. Martenzi, thank you for the time.
Appreciate
man.
You, brother.
Always enjoy it.
Yeah, for sure. I'll see you all tomorrow.
All right. That's Martenzi Johnson from Notice. Give him a follow at 10Z Johnson. Coming up 1 o'clock, we're going to open those phone lines up for Bleep You Thursday. We also got a little news out of Louisiana and I believe a B. Mitchell Finley first. Nobody go anywhere.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Raleigh Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Raleigh Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.